Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast. I'm here today and every show with my co-host, the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dr. Andre Jones.
Da-da. Hey.
Welcome back.
Hey, welcome back. Yeah.
Yeah, we've been gone for a while.
It's been a couple months.
Slightly a little more than a couple months. But we've been busy.
We have.
A lot going on. We had a lot going on over the summer.
Very true. Very right, busy summer.
Late spring, summer. We had, doing a lot. And we've got a lot of great things planned for the season.
Wow. We're in season four?
We're in season four.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's season four.
All right.
But man.
Where you been?
It's like, where haven't I been?
Right. That's very true. Very true.
Very true. You know, a lot of restaurants and stuff are having some difficult times. I mean, there's a lot of challenges out there. Mm. Now, Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, we've been doing pretty well. I would say we've been doing pretty good.
Yeah,
there's a lot of challenges. And we just really been focused on just getting the business back in order, especially with all the price increases and the shortages.
Meat is gone up.
Meat is gone up. And then, actually everything's gone up.
Yeah.
I mean, you lower the rappers.
Right.
And I'm not talking about hip hop.
It's about the bus in the
I saw you getting ready to get up on the ones and the twos, from your background. But no, not that
bus,
kind of rapper.
Bust out my turntables? No, this is not the time. Put it away. Okay, fine.
Right. But I mean, containers, to-go containers. It's just been so much going on in the whole entire industry.
Sure.
In the food industry itself. And so we needed really to take some time, and we've been doing some work on the restaurant.
Right. Sounds like you'd be doing a lot of reorganization. Reflection.
But one thing that did happen while we were gone.
What's that?
We won, this is back to back for the Arizona Daily Star Reader's Choice Award for Best Barbecue in Southern Arizona.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, so we again.
Undefeated.
Yeah. So that did happen while we were gone. So that was a really great thing. Like I said, there have been a lot of challenges, but we're still doing very well.
Good.
And the food truck, that's another thing. We've been spending a lot of time taking the food truck out.
Sure. You've been everywhere. All over town.
Yeah. Events. People are having events again.
Yes. The world's slowly opening up and people are actually going out again.
Right. So we've been busy doing that, and we're redoing the website.
Right.
Our social media and media company, that fantastic company, Octavia Media.
Who are they?
Yeah. Those guys.
Oh, good people.
Right. As a matter, they've been really instrumental in helping us. Ooh. I mean, and actually helping us get through COVID and everything, because one of the reasons we were able to get through that is because of our social media presence.
Right.
And we were able to stay connected with our customers. So
sure.
That,
the right positive way.
Right.
Unlike
right
what's going on
way.
Right now.
Right, the light positive
way.
Right. So those are some of the things we've been up to there. And I'm really excited about this fourth season.
Absolutely. It's nice to be back in the studio again.
It is. And it is a serious upgrade here, man.
Absolutely.
The podcast studio ambiance is wow. It's crazy, man.
It's like a studio now.
It's a studio. I mean, just being in here, I'm excited. I'm up. I'm like, this is the joint. This is the place.
Exactly.
Right.
The magic place.
Welcome to the magic place. This is where the magic happens.
Exactly.
Right here. Yeah. This is like podcast central.
We try around here. We try.
Right. So season four.
Yeah. What do we want to do for season four? I'm interested. I'm curious. What do you have in mind?
Well, Ken's Hardwood Barbecue started with as a food truck.
I remember this.
And I have a bunch of food truck pals.
Really?
And the thing about all of the food truck folks is they have some great stories.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we're going to focus on this season, we're going to focus on restaurants, local restaurants, and food trucks. And we want to hear their stories.
Yes.
We want to know, well, how did they get started?
Right.
What are some of the challenges? What are they doing? What do they see that's for the future?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So it's going to be great. We're going to have different food trucks. We're also going to have my grill cleaner on the show. Yeah, these guys are great.
Really?
What they do, they not only clean grills, they repair grills.
Oh?
Yeah, they repair grills. And they also set you up with, a new grill, new situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, yeah. All right.
But I'll tell you, I had them out to my house, man. I've got an older Grand Turbo. It's a monster, though.
Really?
Yeah, it's a 54-inch.
That's a beast.
Yeah, it's a 54-inch. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, like 8 burners.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a monster. It's
that
It's got the rotisserie attachment.
What?
So anyway, it was pretty old.
Yeah.
And I had these guys come out, and they cleaned it all up. And then I had them make a couple of it was old. They had to replace a lot of parts.
Yeah.
And then I had them put in a couple of sear burners for me.
Interesting.
So I could just, and man, they cleaned it up really well. I mean, great. I mean, it looked like new.
Get out of here.
And I've had the thing 10 years or so.
Wow.
Or more. And they got my grill back up and running. And so they're going to be on our show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Be on our show.
At my house.
Yeah. Yeah. their season is wrapping up a little bit.
Okay.
They do work here in Arizona and also back in Chicago.
Really?
Right.
Interesting.
Right. And we're going to be talking to Bob. Bob's going to be talking to us remotely from Chicago.
Cool.
And V, they have V out here in Arizona, and he does the work out here. So
nice.
It's going to be all about food. Our guests are all going to be all about food this year. And I'm really excited, especially the food trucks and the food truck stories.
So in other words, eat before you hear the show or eat while you're hearing the show.
Yeah,
so that way you can enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah. So season 4, going to be great.
Yeah.
Hang in there, listen, and
it sounds like it's going to be an amazing season. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And hungry.
Yeah, me too. And then, of course, those are the guests, but we're going to go and we're going to be giving you all of those great ideas for the backyard.
Yes.
Home entertainer.
That's right.
Right.
We're heading towards the holidays again.
We're headed for the holidays right now. Mm-hmm. We're right in the middle of football season.
That's right.
But
Tailgate
season. And we got football, the World Series. All these things are coming up. So it's a great time for sports right now.
Absolutely.
And we're going to talk a little bit about perfect tailgate.
Perfect.
You know, the perfect tailgate food.
Right.
We're going to talk about keeping people safe during your tailgate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like you said, we're going to take you right into the holidays, holiday grilling, holiday. We'll start talking about that turkey early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't want to just like listen to the show on like Saturday before Thanksgiving. And we need to we just need to lead up there.
Yes.
We'll start in October.
Yeah.
And we'll start talking about prepping turkey and that stuff. By the time we get to that Saturday before, you know, that podcast before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You'll be, and right there, we'll just tighten it all up for you.
Exactly.
You'll be good to go.
You'll have all the pieces that you need. Put it all together.
Now my recommendation is that get you a little small turkey and practice before Thanksgiving Day.
You know?
And
good idea.
Yeah, so we'll talk about all that. We're leading up to Turkey Day.
Right. Right. Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble.
Also, new segment too?
Yeah. So We have a new segment, and actually we're going to be calling my mom.
What?
Yeah. She used to have all these sayings, but all these sayings came from like my grandfather and, you know, my uncles and this and,
right.
And aunts. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they just kind of flowed down through my mom.
Sure.
Right. So we're going to have a little section about old timey sayings.
I love it.
Sort of, you know, the kind of things that the old folks used to say.
Yeah.
So we're going to be
throw the baby out with the bathwater. Yeah. That baby didn't do anything. Don't throw that baby out.
Right.
Keep that baby in that bathwater.
Right.
Strongly, people.
So, yeah. So we're going to be checking with her every show. We'll check in with my mom.
Cool.
And it's going to be a great show. My mom, Wilma Sadler Morton.
Yep.
And we're going to have a lot of fun with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So we're going to be calling back to Jeffersonville, Indiana.
Hey, hey, hey.
And we're going to be talking to Wilma.
Perfect.
My mom.
I love it.
Right.
And I guess you still want like updates from me too. Huh?
Yeah. And then of course, we're going to have our updates with our grill master, pit master. In training,
dun, 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 dun.
The doctor,
dun, dun, dun.
Dr. Andre Jones.
Dun, dun.
Yeah, so it's gonna be a great show, great season.
Yes,
I'm feeling it.
I'm too.
Yeah.
It's nice to be back in the studio doing it again.
Right, it definitely is. So all I can say is, hey, don't miss out. Hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be dropping a podcast. We're doing two a month now, right?
Two a month. Yeah.
And so we're going to be dropping a podcast, one on the 15th and mm-hmm. one on the 30th.
Awesome.
Every month.
Awesome.
Like clockwork.
Yeah, exactly. You get the notification and you can check out Get Your Barbecue On going to Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and also on anchor.fm or visiting our website at getyourbbqonpodcast.com.
All right. Man, you do that so well, Doctor.
You know, I'm here to help plug. I'm here to help plug.
All right. Well, we're at that time of the show where we take on a listener question. And the doctor kind of clued me in early today and said, we got a really good one today. And looks like it's going to be some good discussion. So what's the question today, doctor?
Well, we have Adrian from Phoenix, Arizona. And here is his question. Word for word.
Word for word.
Ready? Don't miss a word on this one.
All right.
Because you'll fail the test. I promise. He says, you know, he's been listening to a lot of our podcasts. Well, that's good.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
That's a good thing.
He said that he noticed that we talk a lot about how we are against fall off the bone ribs.
Okay. That shows he does listen to the show.
He really does listen to the show. And he wants to know what's our beef, no pun intended, about the fall off the bone ribs. And he wants to know why we're so against it.
Wow.
So,
well, you know me, it's all a matter of preference,
right?
Really,
right?
I mean, how you like and eat your barbecue or whatever is all a matter of preference.
Mm-hmm.
Now, personally,
yeah,
I think a rib ought to have a little tug to it.
That's what you say. A little pull.
Little pull.
Not much work, but just a little pull. Right.
To me, if you pick up a rib and mm-hmm. it just falls off the bone on the plate, you just cooked it too long.
Right.
It's been cooked way too long.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and while I still have my teeth, mm-hmm. you know, while I still have my good teeth, I want a little pull on my ribs.
Right.
And, you know, the thing is, and if you watch a lot of competitions, your barbecue competitions on TV, the food channels and different ones. When they judge, that is one of the criteria. Yes, it is. That it has a little pool. Yeah. Check it out. Yeah.
Huh.
So, that's all well and good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't base my personal preferences on barbecue shows or anything like that.
Sure.
But for me,
You like a little pull. You like some work to it.
I like a little pull. I wouldn't call it work.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I want to just have a little pull.
Uh-huh.
And I don't want it tough. But, you know, when I go through it with my
pearly
whites,
just
it'll just go right through the meat. And it's,
right.
You know, I'm not chewing it. It just has a little pull.
Well, isn't there? There's also.
Yeah, I mean, it's juicy, too.
Yeah.
Right.
And you also said that, you know, there's more flavor by the bone, too.
Right.
Right. And you just want to keep that flavor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So what? I mean, you are a pit master in training.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right? Absolutely.
I mean, how do you feel? You've cooked enough ribs to date.
Yes.
To have an opinion on fall off the bone or a little pull. So,
sure.
So what do you think?
Tug or fall? Yes. Tug or fall. Yeah. So we're calling this discussion tug or fall. You know, I agree. It's all preference.
Right.
It's all preference.
Right.
Like my mother, she likes it with a little pull also.
Right.
It's that whole yeah. motion, you know?
Yeah.
Just picking it up and just eating and listening to the house go totally quiet when they're eating it. Yeah, it's definitely, I think it's the motion, it's the pull, it's the it's the flavor behind it. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think we've only done it one time where I actually fell off the bone and I was actually slight disappointed.
Right.
Like, I was like, that ruins the experience. Now I got to eat with a fork.
Right.
Like, what is this? This is not ribs. I didn't make this. We never talk about it with Ken.
Yeah, just grab a hunk of meat and just kind of like hang it down and bite it.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
This is the case. I'm eating brisket at this point.
Right.
Right. But yeah, I agree. It's definitely preference.
Yeah. Yeah. The bottom line.
Yeah.
So Adrian.
Yeah.
It's not like there's a right or wrong.
No.
It's basically preference. I've got very close friend and then some other relatives that they like Andre was saying. Well, they like I don't care what it is, whatever kind of meat. They
right.
like it very, very, very well done.
Right.
If it's a hot link, hot dog, a hamburger, a piece of chicken.
Yep.
And so I would never eat.
No,
like that, but
no,
it's just personal preference.
It is,
so
it really is.
Yeah, so that is our answer today. Is just personal preference. I'm a more of a little pool guy,
mm-hmm.
and you are a fall off the bone person.
Right.
So
it's all
anyway,
good.
It's all good. So we really appreciate you being a loyal listener. And we also appreciate your questions. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Adrian. And you can leave more questions for Ken and I guess myself to answer. Go away to get your BBQ on thepodcast.com or submitting this question to us. Email us a question. Get your BBQ on @gmail.com.
All right. Well, now we're going to go and we're going to get on the horn, get on the phone, and we're going to call my mom.
That works.
Wilma Sadler Morton.
Let's do it.
And we're going to talk to her about the old timey sayings.
Hello, dear.
Hey, mama. I got you on the radio again.
You have.
Yes, me and the doctor.
Hey.
And
hello, doctor.
Hey.
Hello.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. Wonderful.
Good.
Hey, so,
Yeah.
So Andre and I were sitting around. We were talking about, like, you know, really good food. And
put your foot in it.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah. And
why would you put your foot in something
like
that?
And I said, yeah, man, you never heard about put your foot in it?
That's gross.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about putting your foot in it or sticking your foot in it. What is it, Mama?
I said, boy, that food's so good. Man, you must have put your foot in that food. and put your foot in it just by the way you said, man, you must have put your foot in that.
Right, yeah. And I've heard it a lot of times when you went to somebody's house and you going somewhere else and they said, yeah, no, I went to, you know, Aunt Betty's house. And you know, she had that mac and cheese. Boy, she stuck her foot in that mac and cheese. Right. But it's just good. It was like really, really good.
Yeah, it said that's Black American English.
Stuck her foot in it.
It said this phrase is used to compliment excellent cooking. Mm-hmm. It means a meal is remarkably cooked.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it. That's right. Remarkably cooked. Right. But that's a common.
But you know what? See, put your foot in it can mean good cooking. Uh-huh. It can mean, man, if you say something wrong to somebody, you say, man, I'm going to put my foot in my mouth now.
Right. That's what I've heard. Right.
Yeah. You heard me say, you like that. You say something to somebody that it embarrasses some stuff. Uh-huh. And you say, oh, man, I put my foot in. Man, I'm going to put my foot in. But it means good cooking, honey. And I don't know what, because it seems like putting your feet in it wouldn't make it good.
That's what I'm saying. I'm with that.
But then,
well, they didn't say stick your, put your feet in it. They said put your foot in it.
Oh, all right. So that's the difference.
But you know, when they mash some food up, they mash it with their feet.
That's true.
The grapes and other stuff.
I don't know if they work in rice patties with the feet.
Right.
But for sure the grapes.
You're right. So. Right.
Mm. But all right, Mom. Really appreciate you taking time with us today and talking about sticking your foot in it, putting your foot in it. She stuck her foot in there. She put her foot in there.
I don't know if I'm ever going to say that expression.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here with my arms crossed. You can't see it. My arms are crossed. I'm looking away and shaking my head.
If you're from where we're from, down south, Midwest, well, you know what it is.
Got it.
To put your foot in.
Tucson blood.
Put your foot in that this time. All right, y'all.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, Mom. Catch you later.
All right.
Bye, Boston.
Well, it's that time again.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's that time. It's been a while.
Dun, dun,
you
dun,
know,
dun,
we're coming
dun,
here
dun,
with season
dun,
four.
Dun, dun, dun.
And we're expecting fantastic things from the doctor.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dr. Andre Jones,
da, 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 da.
Our grill pit master in training.
Hey, how you doing, Kev?
I'm good. you're about to start your junior year here.
Yay.
In pit master school.
It's happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
Graduation is around the corner. Super excited. But, you know, I'm ready for a tough semester ahead. And I think I've already made headways into this semester.
All right.
And I'll tell you this, all in story form.
You know, that's how we love to do it here, especially in this section.
Oh, yes.
Of
yes.
the show.
Good.
Story form.
Absolutely.
It has to be in story
It
form.
Has to be because, you know, it just has to be. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and there I was.
Okay.
I was at the meat store. Because we had planned on having a celebration for my father who passed away last year.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that.
Yeah. And we thought it would be really cool. We watched, you know, I woke up, I got his picture out, put it in front of the TV. We watched some Westerns together.
Wow.
We watched some Looney Tunes together.
Wow.
It was really, really awesome.
Sounds like MeTV.
Yeah.
My favorite channel.
No, MeTV is like the best channel ever.
All right.
So... but there I was the night before at the meat store.
Yeah, okay.
And my father loved bison burgers.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah. He loved bison burgers.
Yeah.
And I haven't had one since he's passed.
Mm.
Actually, since he stopped grilling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was at the store and I, you know, at the meat store looking around saying, all right, I... We'll like some bison burgers, please.
Right,
preferred.
Right.
And it was really cool. The man there, he was looking, he was like, man, I don't have anything left. And ooh. Then he went back, he's like, I can give you hamburger. And I was like, well, okay, let's get hamburger. Mm-hmm. And he gets all the hamburger. It's like 20 pounds of hamburger. It was like 20 for 20. It's like, oh yeah, you can't pass that up.
No, no.
And so he's walking out with the bag of the of the hamburger, and someone stops him. He's like, we do have bison, it's in there.
Oh.
And so he goes back and he finds the bison. And he finds them, and luckily there was like 5 pounds worth. Yeah, I just bought them all.
Cool.
I forgot how expensive they were, but that's okay. Or yeah. I didn't realize.
It's a celebration.
Yes, exactly. And I have more left over, which is great. Mm-hmm. So I came home and I figured that, you know, the night before, let's go ahead and let's season this. And so I found some really good seasoning, you know, just marinated them really good, and they're smelling fantastic. And then also turkey burgers, because my mother does not eat red meat.
Wow. So we're going turkey burgers, bison burgers.
Yes. And these are the two things we're having on the grill there.
Bison and turkey.
So I get them all situated, get it all set up. And then the next day, I wake up and they are making that refrigerator smells fantastic. And I just
from
can't
all wait. Those spices.
Yes. Now in season three, I was getting ready to move. Well, I moved.
Right.
And now I have a 6-burner with a side burner grill to play with.
Whoa, shut the front door.
Oh, man, it's great.
Shut the front door.
Propane down at the bottom. So I get over there, you know, I even have a cover for the grill, too. So ooh, I keep it pretty covered,
yeah,
you know?
Right.
So I uncover it and I open it up. I grabbed my cleaning and I went ahead, my brush, and I cleaned off the grates a little bit before I heated it up. Went ahead and closed the grill, the cover, and lit that bad boy up. Yep. Fired up, I heard it. You know, it feels, sounds good. Sounds good. Oof. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love that sound. It's great. Something good's about to happen. There is one default that I lost the screw to one side of the handle, so it leans down. So I'm working on fixing it.
Okay.
Anyway, so I get my burgers, run out, and I throw those. You know, open it up and throw those burgers on the grill. I start with the burgers first. And then I'll do the turkey burgers.
So you started with the bison burgers.
Start with the bison first.
Okay.
Close the lid. And those things are thick, by the way. Mm-hmm. I forgot how thick those things were. Mm-hmm. So I close the lid, adjust the heat.
So what temperature are you all wanting these burgers? I mean, everybody's like...
So since it's going to be just me and my friends eating it, so we're doing it just at 145. We're just going to get it to 145. Turkey burgers 165. We're just hitting temperature.
Right.
Maybe a little bit before, just a little bit before 145.
Yeah.
But 165 definitely.
Right,
for the turkey.
Right. Yeah, for the poultry.
Exactly. And maybe a little char. Because
it's your mom.
Right, exactly. Mother loves a little char.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So those burgers are cooking and it is smelling amazing.
I'm getting hungry now.
Right? It was just so, and it couldn't wait, right? And we get the bison burgers done first, and then we went ahead, and it was so nice about this grill. There's that little rack up top.
Right.
So I could put the burgers up there to keep it warm.
Yeah, for sure.
Get the turkey burgers on there, get them a little charred for my mother, and it was just smelling great. Brought them home, brought them inside. We got some dress. We got tomatoes, lettuce, onion. Put those back. I mean, these burgers were huge burgers. Oh, but they taste so good.
Wow.
So good. My mother had her turkey burger. Oh my God. This is what she said. Oh my God. It was good. In the house, it fell silent. It just smelled good. Oh. Best burgers ever. Best burgers ever. And on my process of learning how to control the heat, that's the biggest thing.
Yes.
Going from 1 burner to 6 has been interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's been a learning experience.
It's very much so.
A little trial and error.
Yes. I'm learning my grill.
Right.
And it was so nice. There's that thermometer up top, and it even tells you I'm warming up. I am now at barbecue status. I'm now grilling status. It was really cool. It's barbecuing and grilling.
Yeah.
So it's just learning how to get them in between those those numbers and where I want them to go.
Well, I mean, you can have grills that are the same brand, same style.
Right.
And they all kind of cook different. They have their own personality.
Right.
So
right.
You really have to just get to know.
Yes.
You know, you just, you know, just have to like have begin and start that relationship with your grill, man.
Yeah.
It's just not, you know, just can't just.
I can't jump on in. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Jump on in and, you know, next thing you know, there's.
Yeah, no, my ribs are on fire.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. You got to court the grill.
It's
like, you got to like, you know, you got to start that love affair off the right way.
Yeah, I kind of jumped right on in and it burned me. No pun intended. Right. But it really did burn me a little bit. Yeah. Almost burned some ribs for that one.
Yeah,
So we're starting, you know, we're moving slower now.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we're starting with hamburgers. Uh-huh. Also did some skirt steak not too long ago.
Amazing.
Mm. Made some Philly cheesesteaks out of them.
With the skirt steak.
Yeah. Mm. Ooh, man. Like, the girls had some, man, I had some friends over, and they had some, then took something home. That's how good they were.
Right.
It was, just dynamite. But again, it's all about learning about this grill and it's controlling its heat. And I feel like once I control its heat, then I'm good to go.
Well, I mean, now that you have the new grill, we're going to have some more challenging, you know, assignments for you this year.
I'm excited.
Right.
I'm excited for my junior year.
Right. Now that you're actually getting into this is like, you did all the prerequisites.
Yeah.
And now you're getting into the college of barbecue and grilling.
This is it. Specialty time.
This is, you're into your college now. So,
I've been working all this time.
Yeah. So it's going to be a great year.
Yeah.
For the doctor.
I'm excited. You know, one of the things I saw on my syllabus is turkeys.
Yes. Smoking turkeys.
Yes.
And it's almost that time of year.
It is.
Getting close.
You're right. It's around the corner.
Right. We'll have a show on turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we did it last year, but you know, we're gonna have one and then we'll talk about, well, how do we get that baby done on the gas grill?
Right.
Right.
Yes.
And we didn't really talk about that last year, but we're gonna smoke a turkey on the gas grill and we're gonna get the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be in your final.
Ugh. Really?
That's going to be in your final for this semester.
Oh, Lordy.
All right.
We can handle this.
All right.
I've gotten this far. I can't stop now. My future wife's stomach depends on this. How will she be fed?
All right. Well, hey, the doctor, sounds like the doctor's doing great. We will check in with the doctor next week. For another session, we'll check in with our grill master, pit master in training.
Dun, 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 dun.
So we'll catch up with you next week, doctor.
Sounds good.
Well, it's time for us to take a break now, but when we return, we're going to have a special guest on the show today, Bob Stasek. Bob is from mygrillcleaners.com. So stay tuned. We're going to have a lot of great information on grill repair and grill maintenance. So we'll see you on the other side. Hey, it's that time of the show where we bring in our special guest. Today we have Bob Stasek on the line.
Ooh.
Bob, we're calling Bob remotely because his business is both in Chicago and in Tucson.
Really?
Yeah. So the business is mygrillcleaners.com.
Okay.
Yes. And they do excellent grill repair and maintenance.
Wow. And are these the people who worked on your grill?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Absolutely. So I do have a testimonial later on.
Okay.
In the show.
All right.
But hey, so Bob, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Doing well. Thanks.
How's the weather back there in Chicago?
It's about 60 degrees and raining this afternoon, so not real pretty, but it's been hot and humid, so we're kind of welcoming the cooler weather this time of year.
Yeah, nice. Absolutely. That's
kind of really similar to
nice.
Here.
Yeah, similar here. Oh. Yeah. Actually, it seems a little warmer there than it was.
I think so.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're really happy to have you on the show. As I was talking to the doctor, Dr. Andre Jones earlier, you guys are the first grill maintenance and cleaning company that we've had on the show. So welcome to the show. You're our first.
That's pretty awesome. I'm honored.
So, Bob, tell us a little bit about mygrillcleaners.com. How'd you guys get started?
It's kind of a unique, but I'm sure not totally unique story. I spent 30 plus years in the car business.
Oh wow. Yeah.
And, I ran a Chevy dealer for the last 25 years. I was in the business and just made a decision one day that we needed to try and do something else with the rest of our adult life, I guess.
So, okay.
And we started actually looking for some type of franchise that we could buy and get involved in.
Okay.
And we found the barbecue cleaner. Okay. And spoke with Jeff Prentzman, who owns the national franchise as a whole, obviously, and thought it was a unique business. initially, we opened up in Chicago, and it was something that's just completely unheard of up here.
Right. Okay.
Tucson, not so much. Because of the potential for year-round grilling, the business model seemed to play better in in the warmer climate.
Mm-hmm.
But we opened it as a part-time business initially, and just thinking that we were going to do it on the weekends. And within a year to a year and a half of opening, it was obvious that it was something that needed to be done full-time, and we decided to take it full time, and I left the car business, and we opened in Chicago year round, and found that you can't work year round in Chicago. You lose about 3 to 4 months out of the year minimum.
Right.
Seasonal in Chicago.
I hear there's this thing called snow. Is that true? Is there such thing as snow? That's what it's called?
Very much so.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It snows and cold and all that other neat stuff. And that's when we decided, well, let's go to a place where we can go year round. And we opened up in Tucson, and that seemed like the perfect solution. We could work in Tucson in the bad months and then up in Chicago in the good months. Well, the best laid plans, right?
Right.
The business on both sides. It's so good that we decided that is going to work. So my son, V, who is the stalwart down in Tucson, he runs Tucson year-round for us.
Wow.
And takes care of everything down there. And then I come down in November, and like I tell everybody, by December 1st, he's looking at me saying, hey, when are you heading back to Chicago, Dad? and then Chicago has taken off to the point where my two right hands that I have up here, Abe and Enrique, they've become like family. They run Chicago year round.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we have a separate building and facility up here. Mm-hmm. We actually pick up and deliver grills in the winter and the bad months when people want to work them.
Right.
And V does that year round in Tucson.
We thought
we had the perfect combination: Chicago in the summer, Tucson in the winter, and now they're both year round. And it's been one heck of a ride so far. I just love it. It's a phenomenal business, and it's just like the chance meeting with us, Ken. It turns out to be more of a friendship, and our customers they're just phenomenal in both locations.
Yeah,
it's just crazy.
I can see the need. I mean, being in the barbecue business, and I've had grills for a long time, and I've had friends with grills for a long time, and family, And with all the grill abuse and poor maintenance, there is definitely a huge market for what you all do.
Now, Bob, I have a question for you. Was Tucson your first choice coming out west? Or did you think about Phoenix? Was there any other days or any other cities that you're like, oh, this one would do? Or was it just like, no, let's go to Tucson?
Well, I honestly, Phoenix might have been in the running. Mm-hmm. But my franchise is already taken in Phoenix by a good friend of ours.
Oh, okay.
Who operates in Phoenix. So, but believe it or not, there's plenty of room in Phoenix for both of us.
Sure.
We could have opted into Phoenix, and Kevin up there would probably have not said a word because he's a good guy and Phoenix is huge.
Yeah.
But honestly, we just liked Tucson. We love the area, the people, everything about Tucson just fit what we wanted to do. It's a homier atmosphere than the big city. And when you've grown up and lived in Chicago your entire life,
sure,
it's nice to get around a smaller type of community. And that's kind of what Tucson represents, even though it's still a relatively large city, obviously. But
yeah,
just a little more community oriented in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, so tell us a little bit about how the whole process of cleaning works, Bob.
Well, obviously, it's the primary motivation when we get to the grill is our first goal is to make sure that it gets cleaned and cleaned properly so it functions like it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly means getting rid of all of the excess grease and crud that builds up inside the grill, getting all of the burner tubes cleaned and serviced so that they perform the way they're supposed to, removing all of the excess along the edges of the grill and the hood, because all of those things in time will eventually end up in your food. As the crud builds up and as the grease and the soot and all the ash from the heat inside the grill, it eventually flakes and then ends up where you don't want it, which is in your food.
Right. Wow.
Aside from the fact that, all grills are designed so that the air flows inside the grill.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when the heat is moving correctly, the grill cooks more efficiently. It cooks evenly.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're dirty and all sludged up, they don't perform like they're supposed to.
Right.
So the goal is to make it work like it did when it was new. And
designed
to
work.
Go through it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So tell us, what are some of the most common problems you see with grills? I mean, when you go out, somebody calls, hey, my grill is not working, or I can't get it running, I'm ready to start the barbecue season, but
I think the most common complaint that we deal with is the grills don't cook evenly.
Oh,
that's probably the single biggest thing that people tell us on a daily basis. It just doesn't cook right. One side's hotter than the other, and just like, I guess it's no different than if you're right-handed or left-handed, people tend to use one section of the grill more than the other.
Right,
The natural left to right movement, so people will start cooking on the left side.
Sure.
That side of the grill gets dirty, the burners get plugged, and it suddenly doesn't perform well.
Right.
So that's probably the biggest complaint we have from people with a grill that still functions.
Yeah.
Probably the second complaint is we're not getting enough flames in the grill.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gas delivery issues. Oh. Regulators, bad valves, things like that.
Yeah.
So those are the two biggest problems. And then in Tucson, we have our little furry pack rat friends.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Love to take up house inside the grills and store all of their food for the next 5 to 10 years if possible.
Sure.
It's, So we do a lot of evicting of them.
Yeah. Right.
So what type of grills or do you mostly work on? We're talking about gas grills, or what is the most common grill that you all work on?
Our business is primarily gas barbecue grills, mm-hmm. whether it be propane or natural.
Okay.
Because of the newfound joy of doing a lot of smoking, mm-hmm. Pellet smokers are starting to push their way in on a pretty pretty regular basis. You know, when we started, we might clean one or two smokers a year, and mm-hmm. you know, now we're doing one, two a week.
Whoa!
So that's a definite change.
Mm-hmm.
What's brought on? What's the problems that you're seeing with the smokers? What's bringing them in now?
Well, smokers, no different than the grills. They get sludged up. They're much greasier when you clean them than a grill is. Okay. The grills end up having charred residue, whereas the smokers unquestionably have thick, greasy buildup on the inside. And there's, I guess, this fallacy that people believe that, you leave all the crud in the grill and, you know, that just adds flavor.
Yeah, you hear that a lot.
Then
you
know better. Yeah.
A lot of people say that. Yeah.
But yeah. I know better than anybody.
Right. I know we frequently clean our smokers. Mm-hmm. We don't just leave all the crud on them, and they do need to be cleaned.
Right.
Ew.
Right. The flavor you want to get is the wood that you're using. If you're using cherry or apple wood, you want that to permeate the meat.
Right. It's not last year's rib grease.
Ew.
That's not what you're trying to get into the food. Right. So,
yeah.
So tell us about some of the do's and don'ts of grill maintenance. I know one thing, most of it is most people don't do anything, but tell us some of the do's and don'ts of grill maintenance.
Well, one of them will either surprise you or it won't come as a surprise, but the first thing you never want to do is spray anything into the grill.
Oh, okay.
People spray Pam and olive oil and things like that inside the grill. And if you can imagine, it's like any of us that have a wife that uses hairspray. Mm-hmm. If you walk in the bathroom 10 minutes after you sprayed her hair and the hairspray is still floating around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That same thing happens inside the grills.
Mm-hmm.
It covers everything.
Wow.
And then it bakes on in these microfine layers.
Ooh.
And you cannot get it off. It's just insane how difficult it is to get Pam off of the grill.
Oh, yeah.
And it's unnecessary.
Right.
Uh-huh. It's unnecessary. A little bit of cooking oil on the cooking grids after they're warm.
Just wipe a little cooking oil.
I'm sure you know, Ken.
Right. Just to get a little brush or something and just wipe those the grates down with a little oil.
Yeah, that releases the meat or the fish or whatever it is you're cooking. It keeps it from sticking.
Yeah.
But there's no degree of Pam that's going to work any better. And it's more expensive and it doesn't do anything. It just makes a mess.
Well, right. So I mean, that's a good point.
The number one.
Right. That's a good, a good tip right there.
Yeah.
Bob. Very good. Because a lot of people say, hey, just spray those grates.
Oh, yeah. I'm spraying everything. You know, you're like an artist. You're painting.
You're painting with Pam.
right. And then probably even worse than Pam is that other idea that you take the grill, you crank it up on high, and you burn everything off of it.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Well, all right, that ain't happening. All right, it does is bake everything onto every other part of the grill except for the top of the grate.
Oh, wow.
And then you you overheat the grill, you damage the stainless steel because right. you get it too hot and it starts to break the stainless down.
Sure.
And it, the issue down in Tucson is it discolors the stainless. Yeah. Up here in Chicago, it not only discolors the stainless, but it starts rusting.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, because it, it breaks it down and they turn into rusty, nasty looking grills. And that's because that grill can't handle 1,000 degrees. No stainless can deal with those kind of temps.
So, I mean, I'm from Louisville. So, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. So I've seen a lot of rusted out grills and grates back that way.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I didn't know that was one of the contributors. I didn't know that was a big contributor to the rust.
Yeah,
it's overheating the grill. But okay, I know it now.
Yeah. So you mean when I turn up my grill all the way up, it's not burning things off and coming on down? So that way it's a fresh grill. So that way I start. No, that's not what's happening.
No, it is not.
Oh, okay.
Because all you're doing is encrusting everything.
Oh, that's gross.
It just gets hard and baked onto everything else except for the top of the grids. Yeah.
That makes sense. So then it just...
You know, you wipe the grids off, they're fine up on top.
Right.
So Bob, say I just went, I just used my grill, did some ribs or something like that, and now I'm finished. You know, I'm ready to turn the grill off. What is it that I need to do after I've just cooked on the grill? What do I need to do to the grill to make sure it stays clean? Or
it's kind of ironic because after being in the cleaning business, I think we figured out that the single best way to take care of the grill when you're done with it is turn it off. And just walk away and let it cool down and cover it up and wait till the next time.
Okay.
Oh.
The first thing is you're not hurting the grill because whatever oils are still left on the grids and anywhere else on the grill, all it's going to do is stop it from rusting.
Oh, okay. Oh.
When you start it the next time, you're going to heat it up before you use it.
Right.
So you start it up, you brush it down.
Oh, okay.
And then you put a little bit of oil back on the grids and you cook your meal.
So that's when you use the wire brush then.
Oh.
Absolutely seems to be best formula for taking care of it.
Right.
That being said, if you're not going to use it for an extended period of time, then what I would do is I would leave it on for a little while after you're done cooking your food and then just give it a quick brush down and turn it off.
Okay. Yeah.
Got it.
Man, it's great stuff. This is great stuff.
You know what? He's brilliant. I'm loving this. He should go into cleaning grills. I think he should go into it. I don't know, Bob, if you thought about it, but I think you would be very successful at it if you did it.
Yeah. So tell us how, I mean, you told us that, you know, you used to, be, you were in the car business and tell us a little bit about how it is working with V, working with your son. And,
yeah.
And how is that? Yeah, I mean, I work with my son at the restaurant. You know, we have Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, and I got my son, and you know, it's good. We have a good time. You know, it can be challenging though, a little bit. But you guys having fun? I did hear you say that after being out here a while, he said like, "Hey, Dad, when you
tried to send
him
home." In other words, yeah, he tries to put them in a box and send them back to Chicago as quick as possible.
Right. I can assure you this: when it comes to doing a grill and getting it cleaned, he is twice as strong as I am, and twice as fast, and just knows how to get it done. We do have fun. It's been a real experience for both of us, learning the business at first and then not only streamlining the process in a lot of ways, but also discovering that sometimes you can find a better way to do something. And you know, then you gotta have the young guy looking at the old guy saying, "I know how to do this better than you." And you got to be able to swallow that pride and say, "Yeah, you're right."
I've been there, Bob, for sure. I've been there, man. Yeah, my son, he's not shy about saying, "Hey, Dad, you know, you thought about this, man." That's great.
Yeah, no, neither is B. he isn't bashful at all. You know, it's kind of like, get out of my way and let me do it, okay?
Right. Yeah. Hey, so I mean, you guys are around grills. You wanted to clean grills. I mean, so that means you must know your way around a grill and what people do with grills. So tell us about, you know, your cooking and you know, what do you do on the grills when you're not cleaning them and when you're actually using them? I would imagine you have some pretty nice grills somewhere, either Chicago, Tucson, or both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a few. Like you can imagine, that you walk into the backyard, people look and say, who uses all of this stuff? Well, we do.
Yeah,
so we got a couple laying around. He's got a huge setup at his place. He's got a smoker. He's got a gas grill. He's got a charcoal grill. Wow. He's got a pit grill. I mean, he's exploding his backyard. So,
right.
So what are you guys cooking? I mean, what are you doing?
Really, I guess we're kind of very traditional grill guys. I mean, we're steaks and chops and do a lot of those and a lot of skin on salmon.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
V's mom and my wife love salmon, so we do a lot of salmon.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's nice. Nice. I mean, you got to know what you're doing to do salmon, man, especially on the grill, because a lot of people are sticking. They're kind of ruining it. So you need some skills to cook salmon and fish on the grill.
You know, it's ironic that you say that, because when we're done cleaning the grill, we try and remind people that whatever you did prior to us cleaning the grill, you need to second guess it after we're done.
Wow.
Because I cannot tell you how many people have called up and said, well, I just put $50 worth of fillets on the grill and I now have hockey pucks. Because they're hotter.
Right.
You know, so that's one of the nuances of when we're done cleaning. In a lot of cases, the grills are a lot hotter than they were before we cleaned it.
That makes sense.
And I've heard many horror stories about lost meat.
right. And I had a 54-inch gas grill at my house.
Uh-huh.
And I'd had it, it's probably well over 10 years old.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd never had any maintenance or anything done on it.
Really?
And some of the knobs were stuck and some other things. And then I tried to fix one of the knobs one day and then it kind of broke. And then, so I said, well, maybe I can fix it with this knob broken. And then I turned it on and there's gas shooting out of the knob.
Oh no.
right. So I started looking around for somebody to fix my grill. I've been looking for a long time. And then I found Bob and V and mygrillcleaners.com. And so they came by. They not only cleaned it because it needed some clay. I mean, it was 10 years going on.
Yeah.
And I used it a lot.
Right.
You know, I used to have those big cookouts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right, all the time.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. Big cookouts.
2 times a year.
Yeah. And they not only really cleaned it up, made it look almost brand new.
Oh wow.
They also did a couple of modifications for them I wanted to turn one of the burners into like a sear burner.
So
they did that for me too, so it's looking good. You remember I told you that I wanted to start doing some video.
But you had to fix the grill first.
So my man V came by and they really did a great job on my grill.
Wow.
And then I had a little charbroil grill sitting over it. That was like one I use all the time, and they hooked that up, put a new igniter in it and everything. So
nice.
Hey, so V, like you said, he knows how to get some stuff done,
because
that was a bear, my 54-inch grill, man. But Bob, he really did a great job.
That's awesome.
And that's a staple down there too.
Right. Yeah. You saying the big grills, or you saying?
There's a lot of those turbo grills down there.
Oh yeah, those turbos.
That's that unique transition between like Chicago and down there.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved into Tucson, had never seen a turbo grill before that.
Mm-hmm.
And now turbos are probably about 35% of our business down there.
Wow.
Yeah, I know V told me that they make them in Australia, I believe, or they did at one point. I mean,
they've had a few go arounds with, I guess, ownership and different transitions, which is one of the issues with grills as a whole, because people will buy something that they like and 4 years later it's not made anymore.
Sure.
Yeah. Parts.
Yep. I actually have a question about that. Actually, two questions. The first question is, how long does it take for her cleaning to happen? So how long does it take to clean the grill?
Generally speaking, depending on the size, it's usually between 2 and 5 hours, depending on how big it is. Okay. A grill like Ken's, that's about a 4 to 5 hour job to get that grill cleaned and do it the right way. There are people that pretend that they clean grills and they're in and out in an hour, hour and a half.
Wow.
You just can't possibly clean a grill in an hour and a half.
No.
Not the first time. You might be able to take a smaller grill and get it done in an hour and a half once you've cleaned it a few times.
Right.
But that initial contact is even a small three burner grill, like Ken's other little portable grill there, it's 2 to 3 hours to get it cleaned up and done right the first time.
Okay. Okay. So, it takes some time. And then how long should a well-maintained grill, how long should that last? How long should it last you?
You talk about in years.
Well, honestly,
yeah, in years,
In Tucson, other than, let's say, parts obsolescence where you can't fix certain pieces on the grill.
Yeah.
I don't see a grill not lasting 30 years in Tucson.
Wow. You said 30? You said 30, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We're
rebuilding plenty of grills down there that are 25 years old.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Now, that same scenario does not play out up in Chicago.
Really?
The humidity and the weather beats them to death. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And even high-end stainless grills start to break down because of the humidity, the cold, the heat. They just end up breaking down to the point where you can't fix them because the rust takes over.
Right,
Things start falling apart.
How long did they last in Chicago?
Yeah, like I said, down there in Tucson.
Yeah.
A good stainless grill, without a doubt, in Chicago is every bit of 20 to 25 years.
Okay.
And there are exceptions to that. The brand that we sell is a brand called MHP.
Hmm.
And MHPs are all aluminum.
Okay.
So there's literally no steel on the grills. They're aluminum hoods, aluminum fireboxes, aluminum chassis, and they'll last basically like an eternity up here.
Wow.
They're 30-year grills up in Chicago because all of the rusty metal parts are totally replaceable.
Hmm.
So the main body of the grill, it'll last forever. I just rebuilt a 25-year-old MHP that's now sitting in a box in my shop up here in Chicago that is making its way to Lysychansk, Ukraine, to my brother-in-law, my wife's brother.
Right.
And we're shipping the grill to him.
Oh,
wow.
And he's going to be the only guy in Ukraine to have an MHP grill. So.
That's kind of awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is take good care of your grill and it'll last you for 30 years.
Yeah, honestly, it will. There are very few that won't. Now, without necessarily picking on a specific brand, but if you're walking into Home Depot or Lowe's or Tractor Supply or Walmart and buying a grill off of that floor, there's not a whole lot you can do to keep those grills alive much more than 6, 7, 8 years.
No.
They're just, the quality's not there, and they're just not designed for longevity.
Got it.
But if you buy a good grill out of the gate, it's going to last.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So do you have any tips for our listening audience?
I think we probably covered one of them already that I think is the most profound, and that's don't overheat your grill.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's almost never a time when your grill should be up over 500 degrees.
Okay.
And if you've got a bigger, more powerful grill like yours, Ken, if you crank all those burners up on that grill, you're going to knock that boy up to 800-900 degrees in a heartbeat.
Wow.
Because it's got so much power.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the single biggest tip for people if you want to maintain and keep your grill. They cook at between 350 and 500 degrees perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And because you are a cook, you know, I don't know any food to cook over 500 degrees anyways.
I don't either. Yeah, I don't think they even cooked dinosaurs back in the day to 500 degrees. But yeah. No.
Yeah.
I don't know anything.
So that's probably the single biggest one. And then from a self-maintenance standpoint, keep the crud out of your lower catch trays.
Pull the
catch tray out and get the big particles and stuff out, because you don't want to invite guests in to come and try and live there and feed off of it, because it might be charred chunks of meat to you and me, but to a pack rat, that's dinner.
Yeah,
and,
true. True.
They're happy to eat whatever you've left.
Mm-hmm. Right.
High-end steakhouse.
So don't give them a reason.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, especially down there, is a lot of people use the undersides of their grills for storage, and they start to get packed with stuff. They put boxes in there with, with pool stuff, for their swimming pool
or their spa. Right.
And all that does is just bring the little fellas in. And you're just inviting them in.
Right.
You keep the area cleaned and keep the stuff out from underneath them that you don't need. And you're creating a situation where it's not hospitable to the little critters there to come and try and live there.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So tell us how to get a hold of you guys. How do I look for somebody to clean my grill? How do I get in touch with mygrillcleaners.com?
Well, that's our website, mygrillcleaner.com. Our phone number, that's good obviously anywhere these days, and the number is actually 224-48-GRILL.
All right.
Or 224-484-7455.
Mm-hmm.
Or people can always get a hold of us at info@mygrillcleaner.com.
Okay.
Now, we do have a local Tucson number as well, which is 520-230-0097.
Okay.
All paths lead to us. So.
All right. Right. All paths.
Easy to get a hold of.
Yeah. All paths lead to a cleaner, more efficient grill. Well, Bob, we really appreciate it. Like I said, we will definitely incorporate some of those tips and some of your advice into our show, and we will definitely be inviting you back on to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast.
I appreciate the opportunity to hang out and talk girls with you guys. It's it has become a passion for us. They're part of our life now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, the thing about also, I mean, you got V came out to clean the grill, came out to clean my grill, but you could see, I mean, the passion of just wanting to help folks and help people, and help me get back on track with that grill. So it was there. They were, it was really courteous and just did a great job, and I really, really appreciate it. But thanks for being on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly been a pleasure.
Pleasure's mine as well. I appreciate it.
Well, you take care of yourself.
Take care, Bob. Nice meeting you. Take care.
Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Take care, guys. Nice meeting you.
You too.
Bye. Talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the doctor, and I. Hey, doctor.
Hey.
We've got some great shows coming up. We are going to be talking to the food truck owners and operators, and we're lining them up.
That's right. They're getting them ready. They're getting their order number ready.
There you go. So we got some great shows coming up. So please tune in to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. And you can hear us on
Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Anchor.fm, or visit that website, www.getyourbbqonthepodcast.com.
All right. Y'all take care.